This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Harvest Vintage. Are you a collector? Blue Harvest love to help you find that missing piece you need to complete your collection. They have extensive stock of vintage Star Wars vehicles and mint on card action figures, as well as new The Force Awakens and Black Series items. Blue Harvest have Funko Pops, Lego, Dinky, Corgi, Matchbox and more. Everything a collector could possibly need. If they don't stock it, then let them know, and their knowledgeable staff will be only too pleased to help. Head to Morley Market in Leeds to see the life-size Darth Vader. Alternatively, reach out to Blue Harvest on Twitter, at Blue Harvest UK, Facebook, Blue Harvest Vintage Collectibles, a website, blueharvestvintage.co.uk, or email at blueharvesttoys@gmail.com.
Welcome to DSW After Dark Side. I know it was you, Vader. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
The thing about walking, right? And I'm going to sound like a tosser when I do this, but the reality is that everybody, when people do impressions, 9 times out of 10, if they do the kind of the stereotype one, so they'll do like with Arnie, they're all going,
"Good for the chopper," and all that stuff.
But of course, Arnold doesn't talk like that. So the 1 out of 10, the one who really gets it, like Josh Robert Thompson. The reason he nails his impressions is because he goes for the conversational speech pattern of somebody. So he's instantly recognizable, but you also go, bloody hell, he really sounds like him as well. Like the Morgan Freeman voice. The Morgan Freeman voice. So a lot of it is intonation. I can't do the Morgan Freeman as well as I used to. But a lot of it's intonation. It's just a question of getting the speech kind of the cadence right. Like the Shatner one's a really fun one to do. Just because he talks with gaps.
So does Walker, doesn't he?
Yeah, Walker talks with gaps as well. Oh, yeah.
Stranded. Totally.
Stranded.
Taxi left me. How's it go?
I've just seen I've got a bunch of unsent emails. I've got email.
That'll do it.
That's why we're not getting any of the emails.
Yeah, so I'm just going to send this again, but I'm going to send it from a different email account so that you can see. Okay.
All right.
Where are they?
ArgaXHamster.com.
I close it.
How's Nats, Paul?
Who?
How's Nats what?
Mark at thestuffins.net.
There we go.
Tell you what, Mark, I'm so glad I've set up all this automated stuff for Twitter.
It's good stuff.
So,
it's good.
Such a time saver.
It's good gear.
It really is. Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm a little confused because today the... some of the Twitter stuff for the Emotionally 14 account seems a bit less than yesterday. You know, like the same tweets done at the same time are having less of an impact.
Right.
I don't know if that's just because the people who, I mean, I can rely on certain podcasts to share it as a regular basis because they seem like cool people, you know, like Roman Pod and Cast are really good about Talk Star Wars. I just started listening to one today called The Knuckleheads who are always sharing the E14 stuff. I think they probably, I sense kindred spirits because they're doing a very kind of loose form chats like we do.
Yeah.
And similarly, actually, this is the closest thing to a slagging off another podcast I will ever do.
Recording.
But their audio is, it could do with some improvement.
Right.
And this is me talking from a position of my audio on the Emotionally 14 podcast is also shocking. So I do, you know, I caveat it with I'm no better. I'm actually just as bad. Oh, my God. Paul, what have you found?
It's actually a scene of a lightsaber hang up the arse.
It's James Arnold Taylor.
And he's doing the lightsaber up the arse.
Oh, my God.
That's brilliant.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
Why are my fucking emails not sending? Let's try it from my other account.
That's incredible. I'm not surprised because it's James Arnold Taylor, but, you know, that's amazing. He's excellent. He really is excellent. I've just found, incidentally, Paul, thanks for that, because in the related videos, remember I mentioned last episode there was a table read done by cartoon voice actors of Star Wars. So that link is it there. It's long. It's like an hour and 20. But It's so worth it. It's so good.
Right, that email should be with you now.
All right, cool.
I heard a beepy thing.
Did you get it? Cool.
Yeah, I've got it. Just download it now.
Oh, hang on a minute. I've lost all my Scoobies. There we go.
Not all your Scoobies.
You don't have show notes for the Otterdog. You tell us to make it up as we go along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are. I saw we can't name our son Guitar Solo. I've got an alternative for that.
Have you?
Yeah, it was flying.
Yeah.
My internet connection is a bag of donkey bollocks tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's a good job.
Jen's got to do some emails to the lawyer.
I say nay. Is this about this ongoing thing?
Yeah, it's almost that's good tied to hear. Up.
Yeah, I don't know the details, and I don't need to know.
Yeah, Steve,
it's
I'm recording, so be careful.
It's fine. Don't talk about it. When it's sorted, we can hear all about it once the dust has settled. But for now, let's just leave it out. I hope it's resolved soon.
Leave it out. Yeah, no, so I'll pass through. But thanks, guys. I'm going to head off.
You're going to jump off for you, mate. Okay,
I'll be on next week. I'm going to set it up downstairs. So we'll have a lot better connection, and I don't know what I did go downstairs, but it didn't make any bloody difference.
Keep playing around with that
cup and string.
Keep playing around with that Apple thing, Steve.
Yeah, that's weird. I'll try and sort that out tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, mate.
Sorry, I've ruined your train of thought. You might want to cut all this shite out.
No, that's all right, mate. People want to hear from you anyway. All right. Well, we'll see you later, mate.
I'll catch you later, guys.
Thanks.
All right, mate. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
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 You guys all right to do a little After Dark Side then?
Sure, always.
These things on the show notes are really just ideas because I want to keep it.
Okay.
Try and keep it free form.
All good.
But like we did say, didn't we, Rob? A couple of weeks ago, we opened it up to people and say, just email us in if you want us to talk about something. Just email us, and it will spur a conversation. Well, we had this. It wasn't an email. I had a tweet from somebody. Okay. It's a fan named Dan on Twitter.
Fan named Dan.
His
he sounds like a man.
Is at fan named Dan. I'm not saying
that's
he's
awesome.
A fan named Dan, but he is Dan, a fan named Dan.
Fan, you're the man.
And he sent us this image, which is of Han and Leia in the medical bay
on
Hoth and Empire.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
This has gone viral, isn't it?
Yeah.
Viral. So why did this not happen? I mean, think of the epic space opera that could have been. No, we cannot name our son Guitar Solo. But that got, I know that that's just a throwaway kind of thing, and
yeah,
and it made me chuckle.
So
I
funny,
thought, well, that's a good jumping off point for a little conversation about some of the naming conventions in Star Wars.
Okay.
So I thought, why not look at some of the problems with the names in Star Wars, like how obvious the ones in A New Hope are.
Mm.
Just Han Solo. It's very obvious. It's just spelling out these alone, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Almost played by Christopher Walken, interestingly enough.
Wow, you know.
And I was nearly... Yeah. Oh, I can't even do it. I won't even
There's a brilliant... I don't know if you can still find it on YouTube. There's a brilliant clip of... it's an old Saturday Night Live sketch, and it's rejected Han Solo screen tests.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's loads of different people doing impressions of other actors, and Christopher Walken's done by Kevin Spacey.
Right.
And Kevin Spacey nails the intonation. He gets the cadence perfect every single time.
He sometimes tries too hard.
Who, Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
In general, you mean, or just
In those things. I like, who's the guy, Kevin Pollock's good.
Oh, Kevin Pollock's great, yeah. He's much
James
more understated.
James Moore's probably the best, though, isn't he?
I don't know, actually.
James Moore's amazing. James Moore did most of the Walker stuff for The Simpsons.
Yeah, he's very good, yeah. I like most of The Simpsons voice actors, actually, like Harry Shearer and... Dan Castellaneta are very versatile as well.
Castellaneta is massive, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Harry Shearer is like surprisingly, like you wouldn't know just how many characters he does on The Simpsons without watching him do it. And Hank Azaria as well. Hank Azaria is incredible.
Yeah,
he's
amazing. And I fucking love Hank Azaria anyway. Just you can't watch The Birdcage and not love Hank Azaria. It's just it's the law.
You don't believe it's him, do you? Almost.
It's just he's so good in that movie. He's just brilliant. Just everything about him is perfect in that. It's just the singing Hearts for the Money and all that stuff. Just it's everything's brilliant. He's just wonderful.
But
that movie's great anyway. I just love that movie anyway.
Robin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Robin. It's Nathan Lane, who's also incredible in it.
I love Nathan Lane.
Gene Hackman's brilliant. Callista Flockhart's great in it.
Don't see enough of Hackman anymore. He's one of my favourite actors.
It's true. He does kind of...
I love him to death.
He does kind of come and go, doesn't he? He's
one of the most loathed men in Hollywood, isn't he?
Really?
That's crazy. Meant to be an absolute bugger to work with.
Oh, okay. But, there are some who are like that, aren't they? Well, you wouldn't necessarily know.
Kilmer, Mike Myers.
Kilmer, apparently,
really hard to work with,
Myers is supposed to be, is he?
Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is supposed to be a nightmare.
Yeah, I hear that from Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that's where I heard it too. And I've heard it from the stories he's told. He admittedly caveats everything with, imagine this happened, it didn't, but imagine it did. But you can tell, obviously, you know, he's kind of steering us down a certain way. But some of the stuff he says about how Bruce Willis kind of, what he likes about being Bruce Willis and what he doesn't like, it's just like, it just sounds like a little bit bitter and a little bit twisted, you know, it's a bit sad.
Yeah, which is...
Maybe he's just become too world famous to kind of have a normal life. Maybe it's kind of made him a bit bitter. Just a shame, you know.
It really is.
It really is.
He had a great career there for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, he still does. Obviously, he still turns up in stuff. And he's... I mean, he doesn't have to work ever again, I'm sure. But, you know, he's reached that kind of stage in his career, a bit like Pacino and stuff, where he can just take roles that sound like fun.
Yeah, Pacino's almost a caricature of himself, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah. Like, I was watching, you know, one of those like Watch Mojo polls, like the top tens.
Yeah.
I was watching one about actors who've kind of lost the plot a bit. And some of them are quite young. Like, they're talking about how Cameron Diaz has had a run of kind of meh films, and Mike Myers has kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. But
he did Shrek and buggered off, didn't he, really?
Yeah, he kind of did the last Shrek and the last Austin Powers, and Love Guru, I think, was the last live action thing he did. He turned up in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, that was a straight role, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who did?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers is in Inglourious Basterds.
I can't remember him in that.
Yeah, he's like a British general, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
he's half Canadian, isn't he? Half English.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't his granddad a Scouser or something?
That's right. I think.
Same as Kim Cattrall. She's got Scouse descendant.
That's right. Yeah. She's lovely, actually, Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
Mm.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
We started talking about Star Wars names, and there was another one as well that...
You just pasted into the show chat, right?
No, I was talking about... that's Paul was pasting that. I was talking about Luke and how Luke... was initially, did you know Luke's name was Starkiller, even when they were
production?
Yeah, because it was it started off as Anakin Starkiller was the father,
yeah,
and it was Luke and Deke, wasn't it?
Yeah,
as the two brothers, and then Darth Vader was a separate character who was called, was it Prince Valorum or something like that?
I think it was Valorum.
He had like a sort of Flash Gordon-y style name, because it was all kind of a love note to that sort of swashbuckling epic.
Allegedly, they didn't change the name until Pickup.
That's right, yeah. Mm. But the story Mark was telling at Celebration, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, some of that was... he was Starkiller, and when he goes into the cell with Leia, he says, I'm Luke Starkiller, I'm here to rescue you.
Okay.
But because they shot the bit where it says his surname, the camera wasn't facing him, so they could ADR it to Skywalker.
I think he is in the final cut.
I think you should have a look, because he
the
story Mark said,
they said Pickups were involved. I'm sure they didn't change the name until very late.
I haven't, because they said to him like, no, you're Skywalker now, and he went, oh, that's nowhere near as potent a name. But the interesting thing about
I've just looked at it, Mark. He says Skywalker, and the camera is facing him in the final shot.
Oh, is it right? So it's like Paul says, a pickup.
Yes.
But it's interesting that it's Lucas.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know.
So he's clearly, he was a stand-in
isn't
for
that, George, isn't right? that kind of a known thing about the journey, and that is kind of, it echoes his life growing up in Modesto.
It's
all kind of a bit sort of backwater, dusty town.
Have you ever seen American Graffiti?
Isn't that everything he wanted to be, American Graffiti or something?
Well, it was the main characters were each a version of George as a young man.
Mm.
He was, for a while, he was the hot rod racer.
Yeah.
And he was also like the bookish, quiet, nervous guy that didn't want to, like Steve Bolander and Kurt. I can't remember Richard Dreyfuss's character's second name. I should remember. It's my favourite film. but Kurt and Steve are both versions of Lucas. There's one version that wanted to stay at home and lead the small town life and take over the family business and all that sort of stuff. And there's the other version that's a little bit more gregarious and wanted to go out and tackle the world and
see
what he was made of, test his mettle.
Mm-hmm.
And in American Graffiti, it's touch and go, which is what I really love about the film. You've got one guy that looks for all the world like he's going to stay put, and then you've got the other guy that looks for all the world like he's going to go and take things on. And then by the end of the movie, they switch. They switch roles. And they explore it more in the sequel, more American Graffiti, which isn't even a 10% of the film that the original was. But they explore it more, and you can see how drastic the mistake was for Steve to stay in the small town.
Mm.
So that may be Lucas exploring what would have happened if he hadn't have gotten out
and left
and done something more exciting with his life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating stuff, and that is basically Luke, isn't it?
Yeah. This
he has
it.
an option to say, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, he echoes the kind of, the certainly at the very beginning, the kind of itchy feet, desperation to, you know, to escape his kind of modest surroundings. Wonder why it's called Modesto. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, Modesto is a beautiful place by all accounts. I mean, I went up near that way in 2014. I was in San Francisco. Yeah.
Hmm.
And I went over to potentially the only place I would want to move to, realistically, if I ever could, which was just across the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. Sausalito, it's called. It's an absolutely stunning part of the world. I really love it. And that's a stone's throw away from Modesto, where George grew up. I would love to live there. It's just such a gorgeous place.
You just go down his house and keep knocking on the door for tea every 5 minutes.
That's it, yeah.
I would. Tell me some more Star Wars stories, George. And then I'd say, no, you don't understand it, so stop with the Jar Jar. And then I'd leave in a half, throw my skull on the floor.
Misa
of course,
made this good character.
Yeah, because that's how he talks all the time.
Shut up. He's Mexican.
It wasn't cool. He sucked, and it was a mistake.
Jorge Binks. See?
You can do it. You can do it. Yeah. What about the thoughts on Darth Vader? The name is basically Dark Father, isn't it?
Well, yeah, isn't that Dark Father thing? Isn't that kind of a happy accident?
Was it?
I seem to recall reading. Wasn't it in that book about the secret history of Star Wars?
I think it might have been. Yeah,
that Dark Father was actually just kind of a sort of a retcon after the fact. Didn't originally intend it to be.
It didn't intend for Darth Vader to be the father.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, but it's kind of, he just happened to choose those words, you know. Yeah.
And it just happens. I think Vader is Dutch, isn't it, for father?
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. Or like a sort of loose. It's loose Dutch. It's not.
Isn't half of Dutch German?
Yes. So probably kind of. That sort of thing. But yeah, it's you know, that's kind of a pickup after the fact, one of those ones that he's done over the years, because he certainly didn't make it clear to anybody who was involved in the writing of the scripts that Vader was going to be Luke's father until about the second or third draft of Empire. So yeah, first draft had no mention of it whatsoever.
Mark Hamill was told on set, wasn't he?
He was told very quickly.
He was told
before,
on set.
Because
the script had been shipped. Because Earl Jones hadn't actually done that part of the dialogue yet.
No. And actually, I think originally he was going into that scene under the impression that it would turn out to be Obi-Wan or something like that.
He says Obi-Wan is your father.
Yeah, the real page. No, he says Obi-Wan killed your father.
That's right.
That's what Mark was reacting to.
Yes.
And they did say that it might have been funny that... all that stuff Mark was doing with the no, it's not true, could have been read as overacting if it was the line about Obi-Wan killed your father, and then he's probably overdoing it a little bit. And they wondered what David Prowse would have thought, if in fact it was Prowse in the armour at that point, because I think David had kind of burnt a few bridges by this point.
Yeah, he does seem to have, without kind of going too heavy into it, he does seem to have... Pissed off a lot of people.
He'd been given. There'd been some leaks. There'd been some leaks from the set, and he'd,
he'd
been given a page of the script, I think, that said that Obi-Wan was Luke's father.
Right.
Not the line from the script, which was that Obi-Wan had killed Luke's father.
Yeah.
So it got out, I think, that
that's right.
Someone in the press had got out, had got this story that Obi-Wan was going to turn out. And so it was a bit of a sting operation. So Lucas and Kirshner knew that it was David Prowse that was leaking all this stuff.
Right.
Which is why George never entertained having David Prowse too close to the production after that. And a lot of Jedi was Bob Anderson, the stunt guy.
Oh, okay. The swordsman. I didn't know that.
A lot of it was him in the
interesting.
In the armor.
Okay.
And I don't think George and David Prowse had a relationship after that. I think
I think Dave Prowse is still kind of persona non grata as far as even like as far as convention circuits and stuff go. I don't think he's gets many invites.
No, and it's a bit sad because now he's,
it is.
You know, he was that character for all those years.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that he's burnt that down. And now when he comes out and says he should have a role in Rogue One, and it just sounds a little bit pitiful, really.
Yeah.
That he's not involved. He could have been a general.
Warwick Davis was going to replace him at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And then be CG'd.
No, they were just going to do a trash compactor scene like Phasma.
But it was a downwards one, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And just be like, don't ask.
It's
Rick Moranis. Honey, I Shrunk the Sith.
Your watch is almost as big as mine.
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Sith.
That's good, I like that.
Where's Greedo come from then?
Greedo, well, Greedo is kind of a really on-the-nose name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is greedy. Kind
of. He's after, especially as he's like trying to get a cut of the action to turn a blind eye as well, isn't
he? Was he made green after the word, I wonder? Let's make him green, because then we've got a Gree situation going on.
Yeah, do you remember when the toy first came out? The toy was called Green Greedo, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Maybe that was supposed to originally be the name of the alien race, rather than the character.
See, those names, it's fun.
It was Walrus Man, wasn't there? But it wasn't Walrus Man at all.
No, it was Ponda Barber. That's the new Barber, that's the new thing. But Walrus Man, Hammerhead.
Ever get
What are they, Rob? The alien race? Is it Ithorians? Hammerhead?
Oh, Greedo?
Hammerhead ones.
Yeah, Ithorians, yeah.
Ithorians.
Mm-hmm.
So they all get...
They're still canon as well.
They all get really cool canon names before, but way back they would be things like Gonk Droid and Sand Person. But the Sand People were a thing.
It does sound borderline racist. It's hilarious.
But the Sand People were called Sand People in Star Wars, though. So.
They were, yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't recall them being called Tusken Raiders.
The Star Wars toy had I seem to remember it had Sand People, and then underneath in brackets had Tusken Raider.
Yeah, but can you remember the dialogue Tusken Raider being spoken in the film Star Wars?
I think that might have been a radio play.
Okay.
That was done in a radio play for A New Hope.
I recorded all of those. So I used to listen to them in bed.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over.
Awesome. I might have to try and find them actually and download them, because that's how I really kept Star Wars alive. Between having seen it in the cinema, I was five or something, and then finally getting a copy on video, which wasn't even a legitimate copy. It was like this fourth generation pirate that I first started to consume Star Wars on regularly. That was the only real experience I had, was the audio play. And then like trying to reenact it with my action figures in the garden, thinking, I've got to try and keep up with the pace of the radio play.
Yeah.
The taped version that we were playing all the time.
Right.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Sounds like fun.
Well, it's the product of a really empty and quite soulless childhood.
That's the spirit.
He still does it now.
Still, I'm doing it right as we speak.
Yeah, there's no excuse for it now.
Poor Lisa's stoking at the barbecue. He's there on the rockery.
Yeah, with my AT-AT.
Just looking on at it while she burns his...
AT-AT.
He's looking on at the barbecue while she burns his Darth Vader.
Right, let's jump over to a couple of other bits, name-related then. So, Paul, I thought it might be a good idea to talk about you having changed the name for your... blog.
Oh, yeah.
Was that purely because you were having trouble with it on the on the podcast?
It was a big reason. I'm not kidding. It was a big reason because initially I just wanted movie and score. That's the only two words I ever wanted.
Yeah.
And I immediately, I was lucky, I got hold of, I couldn't get moviescore.com initially a while ago. Ironically, I think it might be available now. Oh. So I got movie-score.com. I wanted the com. I don't know why I was really fussy. I wanted the com.
Our comms are good.
Yeah, anyone that uses the co UK is just selling out as far as I'm
concerned. I didn't mean it in that respect. I meant in terms of it's better that than like dot WordPress or dot blogspot. It's
yeah, no, I won't. Yeah, well I was only going with the Tumblr blog anyway. And I had to have movie score. And I actually nearly, you can't do movie_score as a domain name anyway.
Oh, you can, it's hilarious.
But can you? I didn't even think about
no,
it.
No, what I mean, I just think it's funny.
And so I'm sitting there, and this was every outro we've been doing for the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a fast,
just
isn't
me
it,
saying to... goodbye and thanks has been a bit of a bore, really. And I was like, I've got to do something about this. And also I just said, why don't you use the word news? Because that's all you're doing. So I just happened to type in.
Fair enough.
MovieScoreNews.com is available, and it cost me 99p.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, 99p. And seriously, within 3 minutes, I had the domain. It was linked to my Tumblr. The site was updated. Facebook was updated. Twitter was updated. Done. And now Mark can go, Paul, where can I find you? I can go, MovieScore News.
Yeah. Perfect. Now, it does make a lot of sense to go down that. To go down. Yeah. Simple is good, which is why, because my original Twitter was, it's been Rob Wade Vision for a few years, but Instagram started off as something different, which is why after a while I started thinking, oh, I can't mention my Instagram because it's more complicated to do it that way. So I changed mine to match. So I can totally relate to changing names to make life easier on yourself. And actually, by the time this goes live, there'll be a new video on Emotionally 14's YouTube channel, which will be in that vein. I talked to you about it last week, Mark.
Yeah.
About the rebranding.
Number one rule of marketing is simple and sharp, isn't it?
Sure, yeah, exactly.
So I'm sitting there thinking, well, nobody wants to worry about a space or an underscore or a dot or a hyphen. They actually want a string of, they want a string of about 8 to 10 characters at the most if they can, sort of thing, or 12 characters or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there it is. And what you're doing, all I'm actually doing is sharing news. I'm not doing anything but sharing news.
Right.
Oh, look, it's staring at you. literally within 14 seconds, I've done the whole thing.
Steaming pillock.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that
it's
kind
just—it's a complete labor of love, but you know it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Of course, yeah. Well, it has to be. It has to be, doesn't it? Because otherwise, it's not worth doing. I think.
I had this conversation this week with Lisa about Talk Star Wars because she said to me, "Like, where did the name Talk Star Wars come from?"
Okay.
Because we were chatting about it, and it just came up in conversation. She said, where did that come from? And I said to her, like, when I decided to actually do this thing, spin it off, and start up my own website, and I had no intention of doing the podcast. I had no intention of doing the podcast at all at the start. But the morning I decided to do it, I thought, well, I need to choose a name that actually spells out what I'm doing. So, like you just said, Paul, with Movie Score News, I thought I need to like spell this out. And initially, it was going to be Talking Star Wars.
Okay.
In the same vein as like Talking Dead and Talking Bad, you know, those shows with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
Thought kind of the brand already exists, so I can just try and piggyback onto that.
Yeah, kind of to a degree. Yeah.
And then I did precisely what Paul's just described, of running around and trying to snatch everything up before it disappeared.
Yeah.
So I looked on Twitter for Talking Star Wars, and it was one letter too long to be a Twitter handle.
Yeah.
So then I thought, let's try Star Wars Talk. Someone already got that.
Okay.
So I did Talk Star Wars, and when I noticed that was free, I then frantically checked everything else so that I could keep, so like Paul said, marketing, when you're building a brand, its consistency is really important. So I wanted to make sure that it was Talk Star Wars across all platforms.
Yeah.
And I got the .co.uk, not because it's a cop-out, because that's where I'm from, and plus also you can get... certain security patches on a .co.uk you can't get on a .com.
Yeah.
Which was a happy accident. Helpful. Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very helpful.
Indeed.
And then I just basically just went around and picked up everything, the Twitter, the Instagram. Couldn't get the email, but I had stuck the INFO in there, so that worked for me. And suddenly my aspirations of talking Star Wars disappeared and talk Star Wars just popped up, and it kind of works. I'm just
big time.
Yeah, I'm just happy
and
with it.
To be honest, that's become your prime bread and butter on the site, is the fact we're talking about it every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, it always has been that kind of, that's been what the site's been built around, hasn't it? Because obviously we've had spin-off insight posts which come from a discussion we have on the podcast, which then you have to do is write it up before it gets published and or shortly afterwards.
But at the start, sort of thing. I had no intention of doing that. I thought I would just do what Paul does and just aggregate news, and just filter it through my own opinion. Mm-hmm. I'd keep the insights for little ideas like the Tidarium thing that Connor mentioned on the main show tonight. Basically, I was just going to be taking news stories, just putting out news stories every day. I didn't even think about a podcast until I thought perhaps I should bag the podcast name in case somebody else gets it and then starts trampling on the brand of Talk Star Wars that I was going to hopefully try and build. Mm-hmm. And I put out some previous episodes of podcasts that we'd already recorded on the feed. And then I thought, oh, well, when something pops up, Force Awakens shaped, perhaps we'll get together and record something and put it out as a podcast. And this thing just grew. And it's become the heart of what I do now, this podcast. All my week is basically built around this podcast.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier with it.
No, it's great, you know. And clearly the fans like it because we've been able to successfully spin off a second show, which is why we're here now, from the fact that people are so desperate for podcasting content from us.
Yeah, and then obviously it's built the relationship with the guys in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
And who knows how far out that's going to go.
Well, quite, yeah. I mean, we talked behind the scenes about we're kind of almost eyeing up different providers, aren't we? Sort of saying, like, do you reckon, you know, should we approach these people? Should we talk to this podcast? Should we talk to this group?
Yeah.
You know, we're making it almost like a recruitment drive, which is how it's how it should be done, really.
Yeah, I think
because obviously we're trying to build up a strong network of good quality shows. So that's the way to do it.
People that can support each other and promote each other and challenge each other. And
preferably those with automated tools. It makes it a lot easier. That helps a lot.
Raise the bar as they move the needle.
Yeah, indeed.
What about Emotionally 14, Rob? Where did that all come from?
So, is there a particular bit you're interested in? Like, as in, because obviously there are different podcasts underneath the brand and there are different shows
it's
and so on.
Really, it's the brand itself that intrigues me. Okay. It's such a cool concept because it says you know what you're getting when you're going to it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was kind of the objective. I mean, it was kind of spun off from a particular stand-up set. So it's a guy called, you're familiar with a comedian called Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
So obviously he was like big deal kind of in the early 90s in terms of kind of counterculture comedy. And he used to have this bit about buying his purchasing habits at his local Blockbuster being porn and video games. And there was a particular line he delivered in one of the live shows where he said, what am I, 13 emotionally? And the whole thing was about whether or not he was actually a child kind of walking around in grown-up clothes because all he bought was porn and – all he rented, rather, was porn and, you know – the example he gave was Clam Lappers and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh dear.
So it was kind of built out of that, you know. So the name Emotionally 14 came from a similar kind of, you know, a kind of play on that. But obviously 13 emotionally didn't quite fit kind of thematically. And then it was just kind of Emotionally 14 was the best sounding number in the kind of in the set. With regards to other stuff, the Crazy Train was, so the concept of the show was always we go in with no planned agenda and see where the conversation takes us, and we've gone on some really weird tears as a result, and I'm very pleased with everything we've ever talked about. There's some quality stuff in there. And it came from a podcast I listened to at the time, so I have to kind of go back and in time a few years for this one. So this would have been 2012. I'd just come back from living in Brighton. I was having a really bad time of it. And I had this particular podcast I used to really like, which was a kickstarted podcast run by some people who used to do a show on IGN. And the show was called, the show they did originally was called the GameSpy Debriefings. And it had started off as a video game show. And they brought in people to do odd episodes who gradually steered the show into absolutely anything but video games.
Oh, it's a shame.
And it got, well, no, it actually, what happened was it got really, it became, it was the second least popular podcast on the network. And it became the most popular podcast within 6 months because people just enjoyed the conversations they were having because they were so funny. They, one of them got let go from IGN and he went off and kickstarted a show, which was exactly the same thing, but it was kind of, you know, it was understood from the beginning. This is not going to be about video games. It's just going to be the same show you've been enjoying. It's just not on IGN. So he kickstarted that and I was listening to one of their episodes and I, at the time I was thinking, you know what, I need to do something like this. It would be good kind of cathartic, therapeutic. It would be a good kind of thing to keep my, keep me occupied mentally, creatively, because I'd taken a break from my projects just to get my life back on kind of a more even keel. Because like I say, I cannot stress enough how bad things felt. You know, they compared to how they actually were, obviously it wasn't all as bad as all that, but it felt like the world was ending, you know. So I was very much kind of, I need something that's going to keep me sane. So I went for the idea of, oh, once I get, you know, once I get in a position where I'm going to start doing stuff, what I'm going to do is relaunch the website. And one of the things I'm going to do is a podcast. And I was listening to one of their episodes and one of the cast had been delayed because the train they were traveling on had been in a collision with a person.
Oh dear.
And they Skyped in the bloke to talk about what had happened. But just before they Skyped him in, they played the song Crazy Train as the intro to the show by Ozzy Osbourne. And I was sitting there listening to that episode and afterwards I sort of went, that's not a bad name if I don't know what the show is going to be about, because I'm going to deliberately kind of go in with nothing, with no particular agenda. That's actually not a bad name for a show about nothing in particular. And so that was where the show idea came from. The Evil Teen Gamecast is just, it is what it is. And then the YouTube stuff, the one that goes live at the time of recording, it's going out tomorrow. I'm rebranding everything that's related to kind of, almost like grown-up toys, as it were. Anything related to that sort of thing, I'm rebranding to what's called the E14 Toy Box. So it's just a hopefully weekly show, but just in general, it's going to be a more frequent show that's going to be about toys that grown-ups play with. So, you know, board games, models.
Yeah, not in an After Dark Side kind of way, but...
No, it's not going to be anything like that quite. But it's about that kind of premise. So that's the idea of the show. So I'm going to be bringing it in as of, like I say, at the time of recording, it's tomorrow. I'm launching the video explaining it all, a bit like Clarissa. And the plan is kind of over time, I'll be developing it out with, you know, basically whatever I've got time to do and whatever's relevant to what I'm doing in my life. I've always tried to keep my projects involved with things I'm already going to do anyway. So like, this is why Talk Star Wars made perfect sense to kind of join in with, because I was always going to be a Star Wars fan regardless of whether or not I joined the podcast or not. And I would have just carried on writing you guys questions had I not come in on the show. I would have been like Connor.
It's easy. Yeah, it's easy for you to be live and ask them straight off the bat.
Exactly. Yeah, this is it. And now I get to, because that was the one thing. The first time I had listened to a Talk Star Wars episode, the one thing I came away from it thinking was, I wish I'd been there, because I had so many things I wanted to say in response to the stuff you guys were saying. And it made me really quite jealous. You know, I wanted to be in that discussion and I was really keen to find a way to get involved. So the email question started off that train of thought. And obviously this is where it's ended up, which is quite a nice how things turn out, you know?
Yeah, it worked very well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's suited me down to the ground, because obviously I firmly maintain that join up to Talk Star Wars when I did rescued my interest in blogging and podcasting and everything from becoming something that was going to start becoming a chore for me. And, you know, I don't talk about it a lot, but I do have frustrations about, you know, when I have a project running with a group of friends and I'm the only one who's enthusiastic about it, that's quite a hard one to stomach.
Yeah.
Because you want everybody to be on the same page as you, to the same level of enthusiasm as well. And you don't necessarily get that, then it puts you on a downer, you know. It's very tough to keep going. I'm making it sound so fucking depressing. Well, the reality is I'm very happy with it all.
Like, you're avoiding the depression by having what is apparently a tiny lawnmower going off in the background of your room.
That would be my laptop. I mentioned it earlier.
It's
just giving off a lot of heat. While we're talking, I shit you not, I'm photoshopping Jeremy's face onto the collector from Guardians of the Galaxy. Because I feel like that needs to be the show image.
He's got a great project lined up.
Has he really?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys.
That's fine. You know, don't have to talk about it. But is it the one he was talking about with Blue Harvest on Twitter?
Yeah, he's tweeted it. I don't think there's any secret.
No, I think that sounds brilliant.
Blue Harvest.
I love the fact that he's paddling up with him. I think that's perfect. It's just like we've introduced the perfect match.
It's the perfect match, and they're sending him a TIE interceptor in case
of emergencies.
They're sending him a TIE interceptor to restore. So it's going to be a video series on Talk Star Wars of him restoring this vintage toy that they've picked up. So that'll be really interesting because Jeremy's taught himself a hell of a lot.
Mm. Yeah, he really does seem to be to know his stuff.
Yeah. Oh, is that Jeremy being arrested as we speak?
He's come for me for using copyrighted material as my source.
Yeah, no one wants
Who knows what's permissible anymore, you know?
Yeah, the waters are pretty muddy.
Yeah, but I mean, like I say, to circle back to the original question, all of these things I've done have always kind of been, I've tried to keep it as simple as I possibly can. And the reason I'm sort of condensing down all the YouTube brands into one show is because I got some feedback from a few people, most notably one of the E14 guys, Brad, that some of the show names didn't really get across what was happening in the videos. And so when you're looking for it, you go, if it's not a recognizable name, you go, oh, well, what's it about? And then if you can't think of it there, then you don't find the show.
Mm.
So you've kind of lost them twice. So I've gone for sort of an easy thing because they go, what's the name of that? Oh, Toy Box. And that's a nice, easy thing to remember. And it's going to, like I say, it's going to make my life so much easier. I'm looking at the YouTube page now. There are 9 playlists on the YouTube page. And from looking at it, as of tomorrow, it will go down to 6. And 2 of those aren't publicly accessible. They're ones I use.
Right.
Actually, it's going to be 4 content channels and one which is liked videos.
Yeah. So it goes back to what Paul was saying about having sort of a slick branding.
Yeah. This is what I've kind of come to the decision on. It took me a little while to kind of come to it, which is why some of my stuff is now a bit behind as a result. But what I've done now is I've got into a really good rhythm of recording and editing and stuff. And I've set up, much like you do, Mark, where you've got like Photoshop projects that are, you know, the Talk Star Wars as a layer, so you can just add the image in and brand it really easily.
Yeah.
I've got project files with the animations and transitions already there, so I can just drag the video file in and start editing and then just insert that video into the right space and then it's instantly good to go.
Yeah, it's really helpful have that.
Totally. And I think part of the reason it's working out well is because I think now I've kind of got to the level with the new software I'm using that I was at with the previous one. I think because it took me a while because I had to learn the new one from scratch. Because you remember I had all that nightmare with that video software the company went out of business. I don't know if you heard this one, Paul.
No.
So I was using this piece of video software. It's really good. It was an Irish company called TrackAx that made this video software that was really nice. And once I figured out where everything was, it was really nice and easy to use and I could turn stuff around really quick. Then the company went out of business and they shut down their licensing servers. Unfortunately, I was in the process of swapping my PC's hard drive out, so I had to reinstall everything. And when I did, it wouldn't let me validate the license because there were no servers up. So I had to start using a new piece of software from scratch as a result. But like I say, I think I've got to the point now where the software I'm using, I'm at a similar level in terms of what I can create. And now the advantage I've got is that this software is significantly more versatile, so I can actually now learn to do even more. I've got that kind of
semi-happy accident.
Yeah, exactly. As it happens, it's worked out quite well. But, you know, obviously I would have liked the ability to just turn things around quicker as I was going along. But, you know, I kind of worked with what I've got as best I could in this case. Indeed. Got to get the eyebrows off.
I'm adding you two guys to my site as new links now at last.
Oh, marvellous.
Can you send me appropriate images, please? About, what, inch by an inch or so?
What for me?
Basically, there's the drop down on my site.
All right.
Is image based if I wanted
to.
Oh,
okay. So, fine. Just looks so you've got like pages and.
Yes, I'm adding.
Right, so you just need like a sort of a square. We need like a square image or something?
Yes, yes. Well, standard got, sort of. About, just the about thing. 2 by 1.5, something like that. I don't know if it's responsive or not.
Do you know what?
I've got it in pixels.
While we're sitting here, I'm just in my iTunes app, just looking.
Mm.
And I'm horrified that an old podcast I used to listen to seems to have wrapped up.
It's the trouble, isn't it? Like, it's one of those things. Sometimes I'm of the opinion that if you're going to do a podcast, it's perfectly acceptable to do a certain number of episodes and then just stop.
Right.
But I think it helps to do it. There's certain numbers combinations that work well. So like a dozen seems to be a good number. 50 is a good number.
Yeah.
Like 100 is a good number. That, you know what I mean? There's certain numbers of shows that when you look at it, you go, oh, is that, if that's what there is, that's fine. If it's like 17, it's just a bit odd. You know what I mean? It's just, I do kind of find myself toying with the idea of rebranding certain things, but like, I really like some of the names. So I don't want to get rid of them completely. I don't want, like, for instance, I would never change the main show's name from The Crazy Train. I might change the format, but it would always be The Crazy Train because I just think that's a great name for a podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed nobody thought of it first.
Yeah.
But I did go looking.
I mean, I wouldn't trade up Talk Star Wars now because that's what people know us as.
Certainly not now.
But this is such a sad thing to want to go back to a podcast. I just realised that I hadn't downloaded an episode in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back and it seems to have shut up shop. That is really heartbreaking.
That is a shame. Like I say, it's always a shame when you realise it's happened and you didn't know.
Yeah.
That's especially...
I mean, that might be part of the problem because if someone like me...
Nobody knew.
The only reason I put it down was because I got caught up doing this stuff. And
yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Because funnily enough, that podcast that I got into that kind of inspired me to create The Crazy Train, I don't listen to anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, one sec.
I think we might need to wrap this up.
That's fine, mate.
Try and get some editing done.
Yeah, good shout. I've got some recording I want to finish off anyway. I was saying to you earlier, I realised that there's certain steps that I want to be able to minimise the faffing on.
Well, I've got you on. I might just do a little bit.
Is that the image you want?
What's that, mate?
You what, sorry?
Is that the image you want me to use?
No, that's just... I was just showing Mark what I've been doing with Jeremy's collective photo.
Yeah, I'm kidding, don't worry.
Yeah,
coming through to you, Paul.
Is there a maximum resolution that it supports? If I can reduce it down. Is it square better?
I don't know. Send me whatever, mate.
Mine's just a podcast.
Worst comes to the worst, I'll go on your website and just plagiarise something. Make sure it's still you, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine by me. Resize that down to 5x5 should be fine. Should still be a decent quality. I tend to work in huge initial formats. I do like 2,000 by 2,000 square and then shrink it down. That should do it.
What we might have to do on a future episode, Paul, is get talking about some of this UFO type stuff again.
Oh yeah, was that popular then?
Well, it was with me. I love that podcast episode that we did.
It's one of my favourite hours of podcasting. I was wondering if you'd had any feedback from listeners. That's all.
Did you see
the video of the alien conversation that's just gone viral? An alien is like, I'm not an alien. Like, I'm actually a time traveler from several thousand years. You're a descendant. No. So actually, I'm a descendant of the race that survived your nuclear holocaust.
You're going to need to send me that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Seriously, it's awesome. I mean, it's completely fake because the questioning is just, I don't know, it's just completely fake.
Alien.
But it is good. It's an alien. He's basically saying, you know, at the end of the day, dogma and politics caused you guys to blow yourself to smithereens. A few survived. I'm actually a descendant of the civilization that was a descendant of them.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very, very slick. It looks good, but it's, you know, it's probably fake.
Just looking it up. Alien Time Traveler. Oh, we've lost Rob now. This evening's internetery has not been our finest hour.
Oh, great, no. I can't bloody get this.
Interview of an alien time traveller 2 weeks ago, yeah?
Oh, that might be it, yeah. He's seeing it already.
Okay. I'm going to add that to...
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I'm going to add that to watch later. Add to watch later. I'll have a look at that later, mate.
All right, mate. That's interesting. Right. Okay, well, we lost him. Is he coming back? I just heard
He's back. Yeah, we lost him there for a second.
Yeah, got their solid state drives. They got a nice quick restart time. Turns out that overheating might have been a problem.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so what we'll have to do then is we'll have to pin in one of the After Dark stories to start talking about some of this spooky stuff, because I'm getting so lost in this stuff now. I keep watching these alien videos, and most of them I'm just laughing at. I mean, there was one I watched. Did you see I put a link on Facebook last weekend saying, did you laugh as much at this as the guy with the ghost in his kitchen?
Yeah, that's funny.
Did you watch it?
I didn't see it all.
Did you see the Kinect videos?
Yes.
That would just crack me up. The ghost was behind him. Brilliant. The ghost was picked up on a Kinect video, Rob, standing behind him. I couldn't help but laugh.
That's amazing.
But there's so many of these things that I just need to sort of, if I can get people to sort of send me some of these videos, these mysterious videos that I need to be looking at, because some of the stuff now I'm digging so deep, I'm digging up crap.
Yeah.
But there you go. All right, let's wrap this one up then and we can jump out. And I just want to record a couple of promo bits for the podcast before I go to bed.
All right, cool.
Here you go.
All right, thanks everyone. I'm Matt Talk Star Wars.
Oh, we're still recording?
We were.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That's cool. I'm at Rob Wade Vision.
And I've forgotten who I am. Good night.
Oh, we're so close. So close.
Need me as a PA, Paul.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.